Hey guys, Megan here. Just before we get into today's episode, I wanted to share that we have our new YouTube channel. You can find the link in the description, and there's a lot of cool stuff there. One of the most recent videos we have is Top 3 Creepy Fox Calls, and that was a really, really fun one to make, so I hope you enjoy watching it. Anyway, without further ado, here's today's episodes. Enjoy, it's a really fun one. Okay, bye! Coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
Whoa!
It was Mexico. It was evening.
They shot it!
Yeah, they shot it. We disemboweled the animal at once. Coolacumbers are already sexy.
You're very open-minded, Megan. Hello!
Hi.
Hey, hello. You are being quiet. It's 1 a.m. Megan time.
Yes. Hi!
Hey, everyone.
Hello. How are you all? I hope you're all being safe and sound and snug and inside.
Yeah, it's plague times. Yes. The end is nigh.
The apocalypse is here.
How y'all doing? Everyone's all over the place, right? Some people are in like lockdown countries where they can't leave their house, like you and me.
Yeah.
Some people are in Italy where they're all just making out with each other. Who knows?
Yeah, some people are probably in what's the cold one? Antarctica. Being like, no worries, just walking around, just being fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
No lockdown laws there.
Everything still sucks here. Yeah. What a miserable place. I watched a doco on that yesterday. The like New Zealand Antarctic unit research outpost. They all look really sad all the time.
Not much happening there. but yeah, welcome. This is Cryptid Addicted, and I'll do the intro. Welcome to Cryptid Addicted, a fun podcast about cryptozoology, the study of what?
You can't describe us as fun. That's something unfun people do.
Okay, originally,
I'm a real people person. No, you're not.
What adjective should I use, Patty? You have fun with this air.
Okay, well, just, what? You know, what? Be on. The fun.
Okay.
Don't say the
a
fun. Or something.
Sparky podcast.
I'm just gonna let you go. You do you.
Okay. Welcome to Cryptid Addicted, a spicy podcast about cryptozoology. You prick. The study of potentially unidentified animals, such as Loch Ness Monster or the Cameron Village sewer blob.
You get me every time with the second one.
Yeah,
like
I wait for
the Loch Ness Monster or the what was it, the Cameroon Village sewer blob.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm Megan, the believer in the duo, and that's Patty over there sipping his juice loudly and annoyingly, the more skeptical of the duo. But we're both open-minded.
That's right. Neither of us believes in the chupacabras, for example.
Yes.
Because it's ridiculous.
Yes, and yeah. It's just a sad little doggo who needs some love.
Yep.
Anyway, each episode we take a monster, we look at it, we look at the evidence, and we think about it, and we say, is it real or bunk? But first we start with a little segment called Former Cryptids or Ex-Cryptids. And then I'll tell you about it.
Mm.
And then Patty will guess whether it was proven real or proven fake.
Yeah. So this is something that people used to be like, whoa, you know, like Bigfoot, like, ah, is it real? Is it not? Science didn't recognize it, but people believed in it. And then at some point either it turns out to be a real thing or it gets debunked somehow. It's hard to debunk them because there's always crazies out there. Like it's hard for it to go that way.
Yeah, I feel like. Well, you can't prove a negative. Or is that a saying?
Yeah. It is here.
It is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. So this is the Onza. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds Japanese, is it?
No.
It's okay.
Mexican.
Oh.
Very different. Okay. Okay, I've got a bit poetic here. Ready?
Ooh.
It was the 1st of January, 1986. It was Mexico. It was evening. And it was hot.
Wow, really waxing lyrical here.
I know it. I had some extra time. a man by the name of Andre Rodriguez. No, I fucked it. Rodriguez. Yeah,
perhaps?
A really common one. Rodriguez was near his home in Sinaloa.
As in the Sinaloa cartel, the most famous cartel in the world.
Yeah, I don't know it.
Notorious. All right, yeah.
I only know it because that's where the Onza lives. This is where Andre encountered the beast. No, I just messed up my words.
Okay.
I was just trying to say the word encountered.
Okay.
His name I've got. Fuck. Like Bender Rodriguez.
Yeah.
From Futurama.
You got it that time.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. For over three centuries, the locals have reported sightings of a very distinct form of long-limbed, tan-furred cat, or big cat.
Hmm. Okay.
Here in front of the man was the Onza. In Mexico, there are two types of species of known cat, the puma and the jaguar. Well, at the time. Scientists had always assumed that accounts of the Onza
were... Wait, did you just show your hand there? Or are you just...
Do I double bluff? Do I triple bluff? Or do I bluff? Or do I just fuck up, Patty?
You're right. Who knows?
I'm an enigma.
Who knows?
Am I dumb or playing dumb? No one knows. Okay, cool.
An idiot wrapped in a moron, wrapped in a genius.
Yes. So scientists' voices assumed that the accounts of the Onza were just poorly observed pumas, yet locals were certain that the Onza was different. Although it resembled a puma in color, the creature's legs were much longer and its body was much slimmer. So that in basic outline, it seemed to be more like a cheetah.
Okay. All right.
On the night
but
of...
But similar length.
Yeah.
Like, it's big.
It's big. It's got longer legs, though, so probably a bit taller off the ground.
Okay. Lanky boy.
Skinny, lanky. On the night of New Year's Day, Andre pulled out his gun and shot the creature, proving it was either real or fake. It was either, like...
Dude. So he got a corpse.
He definitely got a corpse. And they're either like, dude, that's a fucking puma. Or they were like, holy shit, what is this
thing? Okay, I think I'm ready to make my call.
Real or fake?
I think it's real. Because I think if he had shot it and it had turned out to be a puma or something, then people would just be like, this one's not the Onza. This one's a puma.
Very good. Powers of deduction.
That's my deduction. You're smiling, though, so I feel like I might have got it wrong. No, I'm sticking with my gums.
I just always smile.
Lock it in, Larry.
Lock it in, Larry. Okay. With a real body in hand, Andre took the cat to scientists and naturalists. Several identifications were laid upon it. Starved puma, a crossbreed of a puma and a jaguar, a new puma subspecies, a completely new species, or even a 12,000-year-old puma-like cheetah species that apparently went extinct, called Truman's cheetah. Cool. Yep, that's what happened next.
So what was it?
I've got a photo of it I'm going to show you. Finally, in the late 1990s, the Onza was transported to a scientific lab where DNA tests revealed it to be 100% puma.
Aww.
But it also revealed that it had adequate body fat, no signs of crossbreeding, and was perfectly healthy, apart from the bullet wound, and concluded that it did... It did look freaking weird, though. So they said that it must have had a successful mutant gene that had successfully integrated itself into a small population of pumas in Sinaloa, Mexico, and successfully bred to create these weird-looking pumas, this small population of weird-looking pumas.
Ah, so they're mutant pumas.
Let me show you a picky of this. And I warn everyone who is... listening. So first of all, we have a cool new thing, actually, just to say. Our links are now in our description. So if you want to follow along on Facebook, where we're talking about the images, you can go to the description in the thing that you're listening to now, whatever that's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and you'll see the link of our Facebook. Go there. That's where we have all the photos, and that's where you'll see this photo of the Onza. However, warning, it is a dead big cat. So it's a little sad, but it is a freaky looking fella.
But otherwise, very healthy.
Yes, yeah. Just slightly deceased. Yeah, so have a look at that.
Wow, yeah, he's got long legs.
And he's thin.
He is thin. Thin and long. Okay, alright. But he's
totally healthy, and it had adequate body fat, and yeah, he was just mutated.
So I guess when it got confirmed it was a puma, all the locals were like, ah, well, this is what we've been seeing.
Yes.
Instead of like, eh, fuck it, that one's not an Onza.
No, it was pretty definitive. They were like, because it was scientists being like, you're right, it does look different, but genetically, it is the same thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I was thinking the scientists would be like, you're idiots. This is perfectly normal. Well, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was mutated, not just variant, I guess. Cool. All right. Cool. Yeah.
So what we got like mange, we've got mutations. What are our other go-to
subspecies?
Things?
No.
I feel like that's just, it's a cryptid then. Like it's a new thing. Yeah.
That's true.
What's the difference? What's the difference between like if they had discovered, what's the difference between it being a puma with a mutation and it being a new subspecies of puma? Isn't that the same thing?
I think their DNA would be different, right?
But that's what a mutation is. It's a mutation in the DNA, right? Is it like you have to have a certain number of mutations before you're a new subspecies?
Maybe there's a pool, like a number of individuals that have to be at a certain number to classify as a subspecies. Because like, what if, say, this was like 50? Maybe that's too small. Maybe it needs to be like 100,000. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Just making shit up. Yay, random made up facts. I just smashed the microphone there. Cool. All right. Well, anyway, that is the little section. And then before we get to the chunky section, we want to tell you about the more cryptid addicted content that's out there. So we do bi-weekly special Patreon episodes where we ask a question. And this week's we have, was leopard hair found in the UK?
Wait, weren't there ghost phantom leopards?
Yes.
In circuses? So is the answer yes?
Spoiler, the answer is yes, but it's not what you think. It's not from circuses. We have alien big cats here in the UK, like in Australia. So people see black leopards in the UK, like in Australia. So there's like a breeding population. Anyway, I'll tell the story about that. Spoiler. But yeah, if you're interested in that, our Patreon's a pretty cool place where we do all sorts of other stuff, like the best talks from RawCon 2020, and basically just constant cryptid chat, which is always fun. And you can join for as little as $1 a month, and the link is in our description, so click away. Hope to see you there, and let us know what you think of the leopard hair found in the UK. Cool. All right, so today's big episode is, ready? The Coolacumba.
I feel like we've heard that before, but I know we haven't. Okay, what's the Coolacumba?
The Coolacumba is nothing too fanciful today. It is a hybrid ape that scientists say is not possible, but cryptozoology says totes is, bro.
You got their voices right too.
Shit, I didn't mean to undercut myself. last episode we were in Africa, and we're still in Africa this episode, and it is a cross between a chimpanzee and a gorilla hybrid.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So basically doesn't differ hugely from these two, but it stands just over 4 feet tall. And the differences include that it is larger than a chimp, but with a flatter face and a larger skull. It's also reported to be much more active on two legs than other apes. But I feel like all ape cryptids say that. Don't you? Like, I feel like any time there's an ape cryptid, they're like, definitely walks bipedally a lot more than normal. it doesn't have
to,
guys.
Well, that's your, like, draw card, right? That's, like, what makes it sexy and what makes people interested. Yeah.
I guess so. I find these coolacumbers are already sexy. They don't need two-legness.
You're very open-minded, Megan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're all primates, Patty. Let's be real. Okay.
All right.
So, their pelvic structure is different. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, it's short and but broad. It has defined supraorbital ridges, which is the bit above the eye socket, like the eyebrow ridge. It has high zygomatic ridges, which is the cheekbones. Look at me being a scientist. And it has a less prominent muzzle. There we go.
Okay.
So it's a monkey mix. It's a monkey mix. So let me show you a illustration of this fella. And again, those who want, it's on the Facebook. Click along with us. Basically, it's an ape. Look at his face.
Oh, he looks really dumb. Okay. The interesting bit for me is scientists said it couldn't exist.
Yes.
Are they real scientists, or is this like some guy from Leeds?
This is a very exciting episode. I think you're going to enjoy it because it's going to involve a lot of real deal scientists weighing in on this.
Well, all right.
So generally, just before we go into the nitty gritty, like, people have put gorillas and chimps in captivity together and they've never bred. And they've never seen it in the wild. Like, there's no documented cases, really. Well, there is. Well, who knows? But, like, basically, there's no reason why they couldn't have babies, because anatomically everything's in the right place and they have the same amount of chromosomes, but scientist still says, nah, they don't do that. That's just not what happens. They don't breed. They don't have babies.
They don't dig each other.
Yeah.
All right.
They don't get jiggy.
Okay.
Cool. So, usually these animals are found alone in high-altitude forests occasionally, though they've been seen living amongst pure chimpanzee groups. And they're found in Gabon, Cameroon, and Equatorial Guinea.
Mm-hmm. When we say gorillas, like, it's a mix between a chimp and a gorilla.
Yeah.
Do we mean, like, the big fuck-off silverbacks?
No. Yes. So not mountain gorillas, the silverbacks. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're huge. Like, I can understand why a chimp would not want to mate with a silverback.
Yes. So
it'd be like getting fucked by a horse or something. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, it is generally thought to be a male gorilla and female chimpanzee.
Which is exactly the horrific situation I just described.
I think so. Actually, we have a scientist talking about it later on. There's definitely a quote. I hope I have that in the right way. I don't know. We'll get to that graphic.
Okay, all right.
Detail later on. Okay, cool. So let's go into folklore. So the name Coolacamba actually originates from the indigenous people of the Komi, Gumbi, and Bakalai place, region.
You don't get better. It's been 2 years. You've had to pronounce so many new names.
I panic, and then my mind decides to start reading, like, two letters ahead to, like, prepare. But then it starts being
egg, hat, tea.
I mean, maybe spaghetti? Is this what dyslexia is? Dyslexic shit.
Fuck.
Freudian slip there. Okay. Anyway, whatever. Whatever. I am who I am. Love me. All right. Anyway, they reside in the region of the Ovangi River in West Central Africa, known today as Cameroon and Gabon.
Cool.
The name stems from the unusual vocalization that the creature makes, being Kula Kulu. whereas the Komi word Kamba simply means to speak. So it's kind of like named after their call. That's what the name comes from.
Okay.
these locals know that these animals have a distinct call, and the local people from Equatorial Africa have many different languages, and although they have different names for the creature, and to be honest, these are slight variations on spelling, Kulakampa, Kulakamba, I mean, it's similar. They all agree that it's a gorilla chimpanzee or chimpanzee gorilla. So they have different names for it, different languages, which bodes well. For example, the Bulu people of southern Cameroon claim that there are three distinct ape species in their territory. There's the gorilla, which they call the Nidj or Ngi, the chimpanzee, which they call the Wu, and the hybrid, which they call Ibot. So three. They know that there's three.
Okay.
So sightings.
That is promising. I agree.
Yes. References to these hybrid apes have been around for a while and have been embedded into early naturalist memoirs. It is important to note that the discovery of the gorilla was actually much later than people realize. It wasn't discovered until 1847. Did you know that?
Well, I did not know that. Wait, what are naturalist memoirs? Is that like the Diary of a Nudist, or what are we talking about here?
It's like those old, awesome olden days where like people went exploring and then like just talked about the nature they saw and then like sent that book back to England and then people were like, oh my God, tell me more about this flower or whatever. It's
right,
like Captain Cook days or like Darwin Finch memoirs. Yeah, this is really exciting. So most of these sightings actually exist in the 1800s. This is where we're going to stay basically for this episode. We venture into the 1900s, but nah, not much. Okay. So only 5 years after the gorilla itself was discovered in 1852, reports came out from Gabon from French explorer Fanquette, I assume, who explained that the local people believed that gorillas and chimpanzees produced hybrid apes of intermediate form. Then Paul du Chaillu, an American scientist, explorer, and author. Why are you laughing at me?
Sorry.
Because I can't speak.
A little, yeah.
Yeah, great.
All right. What did Paul find?
So Paul is an American scientist, explorer, and author of Stories of the Gorilla Country, narrated for young people. So he was exploring the cryptid, also in Gabon, a region that, I must add, includes both chimpanzees and gorillas. So, like, they're both known in that area, which means they could possibly meet and do the hanky-panky. Okay.
Are we sure that's what this is?
I think so.
Is that, like, the only way you could get a half-gorilla, half-chimp is by them fucking each other? It couldn't just be, like, a group of chimps mutated bigger or something? Or the reverse?
Well, it wouldn't be half-gorilla then. It would be a subspecies of chimp, like the Billy Apes, which we did as a X-cryptid a while back.
Yeah, but what's to say it isn't that? It isn't just a big gorilla-looking chimp?
The prominent theory is that it's a hybrid, but no one knows for sure. So it is one of the possible explanations, absolutely. But people note that there are definite gorilla characteristics in these apes, as well as chimp characteristics. So they're like, it seems a little unlikely that chimp would evolve closer to a gorilla without a gorilla being involved. Anyway, so Paul, he described these Kulakambas in works from 1860, 1861, 1867, and 1899. And if you're into reading, I would suggest his book, because it's really quite interesting. And I'm going to read a bit from it now because it's pretty damn cool. First of all, I'm going to show you a photo of the cover, which...
Where did you find the book?
Online on Amazon. So I have an Amazon link, which I'm sure I can share. This is the cover of the book, which, again, you guys can find on Facebook. It's Stories of the Gorilla Country, and it's got this amazing ape demon thing on the cover.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Ah, this is cool.
Yeah.
And I see what you mean about the name being a bit tricky.
Thank you. Finally, some sympathy.
This is cool. This is so cool. Yeah. Wait, so you found a digital, like a scanned version of this?
I did, yeah. I did, yeah. I really want to get my hands on the old version though, and it's full of these amazing etchings because back in the day people like didn't draw, they did etchings. So there's this great like, there's just awesome imagery for it. This is just like a picture of some, it's called King Astonished at Looking Glass, and basically the king is the leader of the village, and I'm assuming they gave him a mirror and he's like losing his mind because he's seeing himself and he's like sticking out his tongue and he's like, what? I don't know, it's pretty cool. It's all sorts of great images in the book. So if you're into reading, I would recommend it. Again, it's called Stories of the Gorilla Country. But yes, I'm going to read straight from that because it's like fucking dope. It is basically what I want my memoir to be like. Okay. Here we go. We established ourselves in a deserted Bakalai village, a few miles from the banks of the Ovenga, and about 10 miles above Obindenji. I was glad that I had no oblako to build. There were with me several baklaki, among whom, of course, were my good friends Quirilumbum and Malakolum. Terrible. Gumbo was also one of the party. After our camp was arranged, we went out to look for gorilla tracks. It was too late to hunt. Besides, we were too tired. In the evening, Malakolum came in after dark and said he had heard the cry of the Kulu and knew where to find it in the morning. Of course, I asked what the Kulu was, for I had not the slightest idea what he meant. I had never heard of the name before. I received in answer a description of the animal which threw me into the greatest excitement, for I saw this was certainly a new species of ape, or man-like monkey, a new man of the woods of which I had not even heard of as yet. It was called the Kulakamba by the Gaumbi people from its cry or call, Kulu, and the Kumbi word kamba meaning speak. Blah, blah, blah. I scarce slept all night with fidgeting over the morrow's prospects. The Baklai said the Kulakamba was very rare here, and there was only a chance that we should find the one whose call had been heard. At last the tedious night was gone, and the earliest streak of dawn I had my men up. We had fixed our guns the night before. All was ready, and we set out into two parties. My party had been walking through the forest about an hour by a path which led I knew not where, when suddenly I stepped into a file of Bashikanay ants whose fierce bites nearly made me scream. The little rascals were infuriated at my disturbance of their progress, and they held on to my legs and onto my trousers till I picked them off. Of course, I jumped nimbly out of the way of the great army of which they formed part, but I did not get off without some severe bites. We had hardly got clear of the Bashkanage when my ears were saluted by a singular cry of the ape I was after. Kula Kambu! Kula Kalu!
I thought it was just Kula.
It varies.
I thought Kamba just meant speak.
Kula, Kula Kalu! Kula Kalu! That's what it said.
Okay.
Maybe I fucked up. It said several times. Only Gambo and Malukwe were with me. Gambu and I raised eyes and we saw, up high in the tree branch, a large ape. We both fired at once, and the next moment the poor beast fell with a heavy crash to the ground. They shot it.
Oh, man. This is the Wild West is.
I know. I rushed up, anxious to see if indeed I had a new animal. I saw in the moment that it was neither Nishingo Nobomvembu nor the common chimpanzee nor a gorilla. Again, I had a happy day. This Kulakamba was undoubtedly a new variety of chimpanzee. We disemboweled the animal at once. Anyway, it goes on. But
he got a specimen.
He got one. So he's writing about it in his book, right? That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Setting the scene. And so Paul goes on to note the several differences of this animal and then disembowels the creature. And eventually he sends the skull to the British Museum of Natural History. How cool!
Fantastic!
I know!
Where science is made. All right.
Yes. Unfortunately, I went and couldn't find it. And I'm like, do you have to like ask? Like, who am I? Am I just like, do I go up to someone and be like, can you show me the Coolacamba skull, please? Like,
I want Paul's skull.
I want all access area. Yeah. So I don't know what to do about that, but I want to try again when this COVID stuff's all over. Like, email someone, be like, can I have access to this skull? Like, can I see it? Can I have photos?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's a great idea.
Yes. So put that on ice.
Wait. I'm eager to hear how this didn't just solve the mystery of the Coolacamba.
Well, this was in the 1800s, don't forget. So, like, no DNA testing. They basically, based on this, Paul suggested that this should be declared a separate species and named it Troglodytes Coolacamba.
Okay.
Mm. But there was, like, all that's left is a skull, and I don't think you can get DNA from a skull. Don't know.
Possibly not. But yeah. Wait, what happened when he sent it to the Natural History Museum? Were they like, get fucked, Paul?
I'm pretty sure they were like, it's hotly debated. They're like, some people are like, it's a chimp. Some people are like, it's a gorilla. Some people are like, it's a thing. It's a new thing. So it's a hotly debated thing.
Okay.
Cool. So moving on to 1874, a 4-foot female Coolacamba was captured in the Republic of Congo and sent to Dresden Zoo in Germany alive. They called her, now I thought it was pronounced Mufasa, but that's probably because I've been watching too much Lion King. I think it's actually pronounced Mufaka. No.
Mufaka.
Well, sometimes it's spelled M-U-F-U-K-A, and sometimes it's spelled M-U-F-A-C-A. Mufasa. Mufaka. Whatever.
So they send the motherfucker to Dresden. And what happened there?
So those who observed the creature hotly debated whether it was a young female gorilla or a chimpanzee, or whether it was the fabled Coolacamba. And not anatomist and anthropologist Sir Arthur Keith declared that the Mufasa was indeed a Coolacamba and not a known ape. Interesting.
Okay.
We don't like Sir Arthur Keith, though. We do not like him because he was a fan of something that I didn't write down, but like it was like the theory. Oh fuck, I'm gonna have to look it up.
Skull measuring sort of thing.
No.
They're like racial theory.
No. Yes, a proponent of scientific racism, which I had to look into, and it's basically like just pretending that scientists. Like using science as a reason to be racist. Anyway, so we don't like Keith. Fucking
okay.
Keith.
All right.
Get out of here.
Damn him. But maybe right about the Coolacamba thing. But otherwise.
Yeah. Spit on him. Okay. 1877, primatologist A.B. Myers released a paper concluding that this ape, Mufasa or whatever, was indeed a hybrid between the two species. It was met with much controversy. However, in his paper, he released a sketch of what it looked like. Because obviously this is before photos. So this is a detailed sketch of what the monkey looked like.
Okay.
Which looks apish, looks gorillaish, looks chimpish.
Mm.
So those of us who are long-term fans of the podcast will remember we've done quite a few bits and pieces about unusual apes in the past. We have two X-cryptids, I think. Oh no, maybe it's just the one X-cryptid, the Billy ape. And there was an example of Oliver, who people thought was maybe it was a separate one. Anyway, whatever. Oliver the ape, who people thought was a completely new species, or even claimed to be a Coolacamba. Which is probably where you've heard that name before, actually. So people thought Oliver was a Coolacamba. But it turns out that he was just a little bit of a freaky-looking chimp, and the owner had pulled all his teeth out, which is why he had a weird jaw. But I feel like this looks a little bit like Oliver, our mate Oliver. Not the side profile so much, but the front on. But, yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't know the intricacies of gorillas and chimpanzees' faces, neither do I. But it's different, apparently.
Okay.
So, in 1881, American naturalist Hugo von Koppensfels wrote a book on the phenomena of the Coolacamba. Inside this book, he politely discredits Paul, and he says he's he basically says he's too eager to take the word of the local people, and his alternative opinion is that these animals are simply regional names for chimpanzees. So when, you know, Paul was going around and they were like, they have their own name for this creature, this guy's like, nah, they're just chimpanzees. However...
Well, on what basis is he saying this?
Well, this is interesting. So he actually doesn't dispute the fact that chimps and gorillas can have babies. He himself says he's claimed that he has seen them and, like, has a hybrid in his care that he's, like, found. So he says here he does believe that a male gorilla and a female chimpanzee are capable of having a baby, stating the mongrel progeny with like a D in there. The mongrel progeny of a male gorilla and female chimpanzee discovered by me is found in individual cases and as such deserves no special name. So he is saying, yeah, I know they can have hybrids, but like they don't deserve their own special name. It just like is a freak occurrence. So that's
Could the hybrids have children?
It is believed so. There's a later case where three of them are found, a mum, a dad, and a baby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So in 1886, Robert Hartman, an expert on anthropoid apes, which are basically the more human-like ones, the ones without tails and better brains... He wrote about Mufasa, stating, when I first saw this savage creature early in September 1875, it was full of vigor, and I was almost convinced that I saw a female gorilla, not quite an adult, an opinion shared by such zoologists as K.T.H. von Seibold and others. While it is vehemently opposed by Bo Lau and A.B. Myers, for me and many others, naturalist Mufasa remains up to this time an enigma, which is slurred over by others with a few phrases. Anyway, he's just saying he has no fucking clue. It's a fancy way of saying that.
So is this just an argument over, like, names? Like, are they all saying, yes, these are hybrids between gorillas and chimps, but arguing over whether it's worth calling it a new subspecies or not? Or do they actually disagree? Like, some people think it's just like there's not a population of these middle-looking creatures.
Well, it's actually kind of both. So this is in the 1800s, before DNA testing and, like, maybe a bit more rudimentary science. It would be the first one where basically... some people agree, everyone thinks it is a possibility that they could be a hybrid, but then, like, it's not worth making much big of a fuss about it to, like, name it. Whereas the interesting thing about this episode is this is all 1800s, and then we come to present day, where today scientists look at all this and say, you're all morons, and of course it's not a hybrid, it's, you know, it's a cryptid. It's not true.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So... this is like quite a few scientists of the time getting in on it and being like, it's true, it's a hybrid, it's the real deal, it's a big deal, like, you know, it's a population. By today's standard, not so much.
Okay.
Cool. In 1898, a specimen was shot and sent to W.L.H. Duckworth of Cambridge University. Great name. He was
Lord Duckworth.
He was unable to confidently place the creature in either a gorilla or a chimp category. He concludes, I am inclined to think, in the absence of contradictory evidence, that we have a specimen of Deucalion's coolacumba. Mr. Duckworth also had experience with a suspected coolacumba called Joanna, who was part of the Barnum and Bailey's Circus in 1899. He claimed that the creature shared many features with Mufasa, the other one. So basically, there's quite a lot here. There's like too much evidence on this one back in this time. Okay. People wrote full scientific papers on this, like massive. So I'm just sort of going over the highlights. But again, if you're interested, there's some great stuff online, and read that book. It's good stuff. Okay, so that's 1800s. I'm going to go to 1913. Daniel Girard Elliott of the American Museum of Natural History discovered three ape specimens in a museum in Frankfurt's collection that appeared peculiar. It was a female, male, and a young one. So this is the sort of family group I was talking about earlier. And they appeared to all come from the same troop, from Vernan Vas in the Gabon coast. After analyzing these three, he concluded that they differed so much from chimpanzees and gorillas that they should be put into their own genus called pseudo-gorilla.
Interesting. And these are actual specimens. This is not. This is in a museum in Germany.
Yes, correct. I'm assuming taxidermied. That's the most logical way that they would have been kept. Specimens. Right. Yeah. Animals. Yeah. That makes sense. So he gave like a ridiculously detailed description, but I didn't write it all down because I was like, no one gives a shit about that except for me. So that's on the internet if you're interested. But he basically concluded that while possessing characters found in one or other of its near relatives in Pongai, has combined them so extraordinary a manner as to entitle it to be a separate from both and regarded as representing a distinct genetic form connecting the two other genera. So basically he's just saying that it's so different, it needs to be its separate.
It should be its own thing. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. So. All right. That seems like a lot of evidence all pointing in that direction so far.
So in 1986, you'll remember Carl Amman, I hope, a conservationist and wildlife photographer. Again, he was part of the Billy Ape episode where he basically is a conservationist and like rallies against bushmeat and people eating gorillas and things like that.
That rings a faint bell, yeah.
Do you remember the really sad photo of the little baby Billy Ape in like a pair of overalls tied to a pole?
No, sorry.
Oh my god. That really stuck with me, and you're like, yeah, what's on TV? Okay, whatever. He took that photo. Okay, cool. Whatever. It doesn't matter because you don't remember. Anyway, whatever. So he has several photos of what he believes to be an intermediate ape, is what he calls. Actually, three different intermediate apes. So I'm going to send you those three photos now. Yes. One of them is this awesome, badass selfie. He's like bribed one of them with a persimmon. And then he's got like a selfie and it's like smiling at the camera. It's really cute.
When was this?
This was 1968, I do believe.
Oh, cool. Yeah, wow. This could be one of the earliest selfies.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, I have no way that they just look like monkeys to me, but I'm sure an ape expert would be like, hang on.
Yeah. The photos are out there.
That's more gorillery than a chimp and more chimpy than a gorilla.
Yeah, true.
What's going on here?
Yes. So in November 1996, a photo that, quote, shocked primatologists emerged in the newsletter of the Internal Primate Protection League, or IPPL. I'm going to send you that photo first. This is a suspected coolacumber. It's freaky. It's a freaky looking fella.
Whoa! Whoa!
Yes.
The eyes!
I know. Joyce, if you're about to go to sleep, don't look at this photo. So this was taken by Peter Jenkins and Lisa Gadsby at the Yolande Zoo in central Cameroon. And its unusual features include its fucked up eyes, piercing orange eyes, dark skin, a square chiseled jaw, a much wider face than is expected, a larger skull than that of a chimpanzee, but definitely smaller than that of a gorilla's. That was 1996, and he was a slightly old ape, and I couldn't find any information about what happened to him, if anyone DNA tested him, or, like, is he still alive? I'm pretty sure he's gone. He's dead. No siblings or anything. No babies. So that is the final piece. And interestingly, there have not really been any reports since this time. There was like this huge influx in the 1800s, and then people haven't really...
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's so weird. This seems like maybe you found a niche, you know?
What do you
mean? This could be your thing. I mean, go take a photo and win your fucking Nobel Prize. That's what I mean.
To Africa.
Well, it's like, it sounds like, it's not like people have gone on expeditions and come up empty.
Mm.
It sounds like, it's not as though a lot of people have recently gone on expeditions to try and confirm the existence of this thing and just come up empty-handed.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though people have just forgotten that this is an unanswered question.
Yeah, I wonder if people even care, though. I mean, do people care? I mean, I care, but like, you scientists? Care? Do you reckon scientists give a shit? Like,
what? You could get to name the species. You could call it, like, you know, Homo devison or whatever.
It's already been named, though. People have, like, in the 1800s, scientists were jumping all over. It's got, like, three different scientific names.
But it didn't get confirmed, right? No, like, no. It's not confirmed now. So no. Fuck those names.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I suppose, like, the biggest... So, obviously, like, we'll go into proposed explanations because, like, it's pretty interesting. So the big one, obviously, is it's a hybrid. And like I said earlier, there's no anatomical or physiological impediment to a gorilla and a chimpanzee having a baby.
Mm.
They have the same chromosome count. Previously, organisms with greater genetics difference have produced offspring successfully. And interestingly, the places that these coolacambas have been found in, like, Gabon and all that are areas that... is known for chimpanzees and gorilla habitats to coexist. So there's no, like, reports of coming just from chimpanzee areas or just gorilla areas. So that's, like, laid some credence.
For me, like, I don't know what a scientist would say, but if you had, like, a group of chimps and gorillas and they made it a bit and that produced this sort of sustained population of hybrids, and then the hybrids could keep producing offspring of their own without further chimps and gorillas needing to fuck each other.
Mm.
I would call that... I'd be satisfied. That would be, like, a thumbs up to the question of this episode for me.
Yeah.
Even if biologists wouldn't call that a new species or subspecies.
Yeah.
But so I want to know that.
I suppose, like, a mule is its own species, right? Is a mule its own species? Oh, maybe not. Ligers? They're not their own species, I guess. But they're...
I have no idea. Like, I just don't know what the definition of a species is, but I sort of don't care what the definitions are. Like, for me, the interesting question is there a population of hybrids out there?
Yeah. Or are these, like, sporadic random things where, like, a good-looking female chimp and a hunky male gorilla, like, you know, star-crossed lovered, you know, like, the Veronas?
It's probably, like, let's be real, it's going to be rape, isn't
the
it?
The Capulets,
like, that's how the animal world is.
Well, actually, fun fact, I found out that chimpanzees ejaculate in 10 seconds. Always.
Whoa!
I went deep into this. Into
just this like episode. Me! No, I kid,
Oh, man, I really accidentally set you up there, didn't I? It was a perfect joke just sitting there. You had to take it. That would be the reverse. So that would be a male chimpanzee and a female gorilla, which I think are about the same size, funnily enough. From what I've read, they're about the same size. So maybe that's a more suitable coupling.
That would just be... For a variety of reasons, just hugely unsatisfying for the female gorilla.
Hey, oh.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, that
you're
that.
Half my size.
10 seconds. They think that's less likely, though, because gorillas watch over. They have, like, harems. Is that what's the right word? Like, seals, you know?
Oh,
like,
harems.
Harems. What's a harem? Nothing.
Wait, as in, like, the males have, like, a few concubines?
Yes, correct. So in gorilla territory, there's, like, a huge badass silverback gorilla, and he's got all these sexy ladies around him. And the possibility of a male chimp just, like, waltzing in and, like, having his way is unlikely, whereas in, like, chimp is a bit more, like, even playing field, so, like... It could be a
it's more fruitful. Likely.
And plus, like, what are they going to do if, like, an 8-foot, one-ton gorilla comes in and decides he wants his way?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't Google how long gorillas last, so. And I'm not going to. Anyway, so moving on. where do you stand with that? You seem pretty on board with the hybrid theory.
This is the most interesting cryptid, I think.
Ooh.
In terms of, I think it could be real, since probably like Orang Pendek. I'm a big fan of this. Thank you for putting this episode together.
Yay.
I think it could well be real. And I am astonished that there aren't scientists going out to try and determine this right now. I don't know how prestige works in the scientific community, but I would think that you'd get big props for a discovery like that.
Mm. Maybe they're just like, eh. It's probably just a variant or something. Or maybe
this doco I was watching yesterday about the Antarctic base. These bases are like 40% scientists doing research and then like 60% like cooks and stuff trying to keep them alive.
Wow.
And the scientists, like some of them do cool stuff, you know, like drilling for ice cores to study climate change and to figure out how quickly like ice is going to melt as global warming ramps up.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. That's legit work. But a lot of the scientists are just doing fucking nothing. You know, just random academic projects that aren't going to go anywhere. Like, fire some of them and hire someone to go to Gabon to find out if these guys exist.
Yeah, that's what I think. Cool. Or we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to go to Gabon. I feel like it's dirty there.
What makes you say that? We probably have a Gabon audience.
I don't do well in anything outside of the absolutely fully developed first world. I struggle in like Thailand, which is doing pretty well.
Yeah, and you went to a resort. So.
Yeah, I did, but it was still...
That's rough.
His toilet paper's only 2-ply. I don't think I'd handle Gabon very well.
I'll go and I'll look for the Jabba Fofi while I'm in Africa. Yeah. Two birds, one stone.
Which one was that?
It was literally the last cryptid we did, the giant spiders.
I just, as soon as the episode's finished, I'm like, delete all of that. The fucking tarantulas.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
But that's, isn't that Congo?
Yeah. I'll need to move around a bit. But I'm happy to, you know. It's a beautiful continent.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
I'm super keen on this cryptid. I think it could be real. That's my answer.
Fantastic. Well, the only other, like, options are chimpanzee variant, like the bonobo or billy ape, or some sort of mutant or genetic variety, like Oliver, or kind of like the Onza at the X-Cryptid at the beginning of the episode, how like there was a genetic mutation and it like bred itself, or a subspecies, blah blah blah.
I think that would be cool if it were true as well. It's just from what you told me, it sounds like there's so many differences that it's kind of more plausible it's a hybrid than a mutant.
Yes.
What do you think? Of all the theories.
I think I agree. I think it's a hybrid ape, but it just seems like a super weird that it's gone on hiatus and like on pause and like no one is talking about it anymore. Like, why isn't...
Maybe it died out? I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe...
Maybe like they had barely enough to sustain the population and then that guy shot one and it was just downhill from there.
Or maybe because we are more aware of, like, the billy ape, the bonobo, weird-looking, you know, individuals like Oliver the chimpanzee, that when scientists are seeing an unusual ape, i.e. a kulukumba, they're like, it's just a freaky-looking, it's just a funky monkey, like, whatever, like, that's nothing to write home about, that's just a...
Well, I'm keen to know what modern scientists make of the skull.
I have no
idea. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't find any information.
We should look into that. Let's do this as a like genuine investigative journalism cryptid addicted episode later on. Like, let's bug some experts and be like, what gives? What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm making note of this.
All right. You do that. I'll leave that ball in your court.
Okay. All right. How do you spell Kulukumba?
It's a few different variations. Kind of like how it sounds.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, we agree.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. That's the end. That's all I got.
Well, good job. I think props to you on this episode.
Thank you.
This is the most plausible cryptid I think we've done in a while. Although, actually, I reckon the tarantula could be real as well. I just, like, that video was fucking terrifying.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I think just not as big as in Harry Potter, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, yay! And you guys tell us what you think as well. And if you happen to know any, like, primate experts, hook us up, because yes. Otherwise I'm just going to be, like, cold calling Cambridge professors. I imagine they don't like that.
Yeah, especially when you want to talk about cryptozoology.
Yeah, yeah.
Yay. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, all our social links are in the description. Like, subscribe, review, comment, say hi, all that good stuff. We love hearing from you guys. And yeah.
Yeah, and pay us $1 for our special content. Megan might do a striptease. Who knows? Who knows?
I won't. Thank
or
you.
Or will I?
Patty might. Who's more likely out of the two of us?
We need to drive interest. All right. Maybe I'll do something at like 1,000.
Okay.
What? Anyway, we'll give more thought to it.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right. Well,
all right. Thank you for joining. See you, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.